Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you just need that worship before you get started in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for each and every one of you. Thanking God for allowing me the opportunity to be with you this morning as we move forward through God's holy word. And as always, it is a good word. Oh, it's a good word. So let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning excited, expecting whatever you have for us, Lord God, that your word will permeate our hearts, will permeate our minds, will permeate our spirits. For you are God, and there is none like you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 amen. And we just ask God this morning to increase as we decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength, and Lord God, you are my redeemer. I couldn't do this without you, God. And just ask you to increase as I decrease and let these words permeate, penetrate, and help someone today. In Jesus' name, again, I'll pray, amen, amen. If you were with us yesterday, we were in the book of Jeremiah chapter 41 and 42. And in Jeremiah, I believe it was 42, the king of Judah was given a prophetic word that there was going to be someone that was going to come to kill him. And he's like, nah, that's not going to happen. Actually, it was in 41. And Johanan told him, he said, now understand that they're going to send someone to attempt to kill you. Or to kill you, actually. I think he told him. We're going to go back and read it because I like to be on point. And this is what it said. Yesterday, we were in chapter 39 and 40. Today, we will be in 41. I was in 41 because I get the word early and had read it. But anyway, this is what happened. He was told that someone was going to come and kill him. And he was like, nah, I'm good. And this is what happened. It was Johanan. We'll read about today as well. It says, then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, let me go, please, and I will kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he murder you so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant of Judah perish? But again, Gedaliah the son of Ikam, to Johanan, the son of Kareah, you shall not do this thing, for you speak falsely concerning Ishmael. Now understand, this is a prophetic word from Jeremiah. This is what it says, then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ikam, and Mizpah dwelt with him among the people who were left in the land. And when all the captains of the armies who were in the fields, they and their men of Babylon. You know, so Jeremiah had already told them, you know, listen, y'all, things are going on that you don't know about. But God is with you, but you just got to stay in the land. Now, understand, Johanan is, I call him a spy. But he knew what was going on, and he tried to tell him, you know, the Anakites, Judea king, they don't want you here. They don't want things to go the way they're going. But, you know, sometimes we can be so high in the hog, and that's what we called it when I was growing up, so high in the hog that we don't want to listen to what we consider the little guy. We don't want to listen to anybody but somebody who's of our quote-unquote own statute, our status. You know, we think that we got it going on. You know, and understand, the Ammonites, and I'm sorry I said Anakites, but it's the Ammonites. The Ammonites were planning on killing this man because they felt like, you know, we can annihilate the Jews all in one swoop. We can get rid of them. So this is another word that came out of yesterday's word. And it says this because all the Jews were coming back home. Those remnants that had been left when the Chaldeans came and took all the higher-ups and the children of the higher-ups and the learned and the carpenters and all the people that they felt they could benefit from and just left the poor. So here, y'all do what you want to do. You know, we can't, there's nothing we can do with the poor people, but leave them. And that's what they did, left the poor people and took the rich. You know, and this is what it says here. It says, we're going to go back. This is all in yesterday's word. And it says in verse number 7 of chapter 40, it says, and when all the captains of the armies who were in the fields, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ak, in the land, and had committed to him men, women, children, and the poorest of the land who had not been carried away captive to Babylon. Then they came to Gedaliah of Mizpah, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, Sherah, the son of Tanhumet, the sons of Ephi, the Netophites, and Jezaniah, the son of Mechanite. They and their men, and Gedaliah, the son of Ekim, the son of Shaphat, took an oath before them and their men, saying, do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, I will indeed dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans who come to us, but you gather wine and summer fruit and oil, put them in your vessels, and dwell in your city that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews who were in Moab among the Ammonites, in Edom, and who were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left the remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, then all the Jews returned out of all places where they had been driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah and gathered the wine and summer fruit in abundance. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and were in the field came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, do you not know that Balas, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to murder you? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, did not believe them. And so we get in today's word because, again, who had been with him? Johanan had been with Ishmael. So, you know, they was all together. So he kind of knew what was going down and what was going on. But again, Gedaliah was kind of naive, which is probably why the Chaldeans chose him to be the king. He was a little naive, and he would follow their dictates. But understand, he had been to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told him, do what they tell you to do, and it will be well with you and everybody in your household and everybody in the land. You know, Jeremiah was trying to help the people. But sometimes you always have a snake in the grass. You know, whenever something good or someone good is doing something for everybody, especially the poor, here comes somebody wanting to assassinate them. We all know, you know, Martin Luther King was in Memphis, was rally. He was trying to help the garbage men. And that is why he was murdered. And the fact is that there was just somebody that didn't like him because he was doing what he was doing for people, for all the people. And, you know, when you're doing something for God, you're doing something for God's people, there are just haters out there. And there was just haters for Gedaliah. And there's haters, that was like there was haters for Martin Luther King. Like there was haters for John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. Folks that just hate you for no reason. And then there's folks that are that try to assassinate to get attention like John Hinckley. You know, there are folks that do stuff. You know, Abraham Lincoln was murdered. Again, because he was trying to do stuff to help poor people, to help ex-slaves as they were freeing them and as they were freed. Freedom bureaus and things to help ex-slaves. Let's kill him so we can put our guy in charge. Worst president ever came after Abraham Lincoln. Southern sympathizer and horrible. And so we're going to find out to get a light. But again, folks that don't want progress will do everything in their power to keep it from happening. So I just said on that note, keep our president in your prayers. Keep our president in your prayers. And this is what the word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 41. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Eshlemiah, of the royal family and of the officers of the king, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Asher, at Mizpah. And there they ate bread together in Mizpah. Then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with them arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Asher, the son of Shaphan, with the sword and killed him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Now again, what was his? He was an officer of the king, which meant he was Zedekiah's person. And they did not like that they had put Gedaliah on the throne of Judah and put out the eyes of the king. And so they was hanging out where they shouldn't have been hanging out. Let's keep it going so you'll find out what I'm talking about. Like I said, this is a really good word. And, you know, it just lets you know. You can't trust everybody. Now, this man sat down at your table, ate and broke bread with you, and then turned around and killed you. You know that's some sick old mess. And it's mad as I finish up this story. But, you know, God gives us everything so we learn from it. And it said, Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. In other words, he was tough. I'm not going to tell you that he was not tough. Ishmael was tough. Him and his little crew, they was tough. They were evil, but they were tough. And it says, and it happened on the second day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, 80 men with their beards shaved and their clothes torn, having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Now Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went along. And it happened as he met them that he said to them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ashkim. Come to Gedaliah, the son of Ashkim. So it was when they came into the midst of the city that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, killed them and cast them into the midst of a pit. He and the men who were with him, but 10 men were found among them who said to Ishmael, do not kill us, for we have treasures of wheat, barley, oil, and honey in the field. So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. Now the pit in which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was someone Asa, the king had made for fear of the shot. King of Israel, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Wow. I'm going to read that again. Ooh, Lord have mercy. That's all we can say is, Lord have mercy. You talk about all the dead bodies that this man had accumulated. And it was just 10 of them. Can you imagine that had been 20 or 30 or 40 or 50? And they killed a whole city. Evil men, because they were so full of the devil, they was able to kill everybody, including mighty men. But let's read that one more time. Now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Remember that? That was way back in Kings. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, and all the people who remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuchadnezzar's nephew, Zeradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ashkim. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. So he was like, we out of here. I done did what I had to do. No, he killed the men. But took the women and children and whatever was left captive to the Ammonites. And probably to sell them to the Ammonites. And then it goes on to tell us, and when Johanan, the son of Kira, and all the captains of the forces and were with him, heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done. They took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. And they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. So it was when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kira, and all the captains of the forces who were with him, they were glad. Then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kira. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Note, he had 10 when he started, so 2 of them must have died as they was killing everybody. Now he going to escape. And you think, oh, wait a minute, God, that's not right. The bad one, God, how could the bad win? He going to escape. You know, when I read that, I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Nah, Johanan was supposed to kill Ishmael. That's the way the movie saw. The good always wins over the bad. But then remember what I've said so many times on this show. God is in charge of the good, the bad, and the downright ugly. Ishmael was bad and he was ugly because he ate bread with the king and then turned around and killed him. You know that's some bad and ugly behavior. But understand, we think he got away with something. He thinks he got away with something. And we all have to stand before God one day, and we will all be held accountable for the bad and the ugly that we do as well as the good. And this is what it says in chapter 41, verse 16. Then Johanan, the son of Kira, and all the captains of the forces that were with him took from Israel all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and the mighty men of war, and the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Kacham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt because of the Galileans, for they were afraid of them because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. Now, understand, what does it say? On their way to Egypt. That's going to be important in just a couple of minutes. They were on their way to Egypt because they had made up their mind, we ain't staying here. Ishmael came and killed. Once he may come and kill again, and we don't want to be the ones to kill, so we're going to Egypt. But then they're going to do some dirt. Now, again, now, you know, we didn't have the bad. Now we're getting ready to have the ugly. You know, and the ugly is some little sneaky snakes that come to you with sheep's clothing and they ain't nothing but wolves trying to get their way. So let's go on. Because now all the captains of the forces of Johanan, the sons of Kira, Jezaniah, the son of Ashiah, and the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah, the prophet, please let us petition, let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see. The Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you. Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. That's what it is. They're trying to get confirmation that it's all right for them to go to Europe, to go to Egypt. That's what they're after. They already made up their mind, we're going to Egypt, and we just want some confirmation from God that it's all right. Now, again, don't mess with a true prophet, because they're going to tell you what you may not want to hear. So let's keep it going. It said, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called John, the son of Kira, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell on this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. Woo. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. To the Lord has said concerning you, O remnant Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for you were a hypocrite in your heart when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God in according to all that the Lord your God says. So declare to us, and we will do it. Ugly and lying. And it goes on to say, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Don't mess with a prophet, your God, or anything which he has sent you by me. Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell. Jeremiah said, God has spoken. Jeremiah wasn't playing with them folks. You know, you're going to come to me talking about, can you petition the Lord for us? When you already had your mind made up that you was going to Egypt. You already had your mind made up that you was out of here. But then you're going to come to me playing, being ugly, being messy is what they was being, as we say now. They was coming not to have a message, but to just be messy. They was being messy and ugly. Because they were afraid of a man and not, they was more afraid of a man, Ishmael, than they were afraid of God, who created everything, who was the reason that their forefathers and their mamas and daddies and uncles and cousins and friends were carried out by the Chaldeans to Babylon. But yet they're going to stay here playing with God, being ugly. Ishmael was bad, but they was being ugly. Let's see what Dr. Stanley has to say about this word. I told y'all it was a rich, rich word. And it says this is a life, some life lessons for you from Dr. Stanley. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, this is a Bible study. And what we do is read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. That's the goal. Is to read the entire word of God. God willing, as they say in the creek don't rise, we get it done. And this is our second time doing it. You know, no, it's actually probably our third, maybe fourth time doing it. Because we've gone, but we didn't get it done in a year. We've read the entire Bible, but not in a year. This is the first time we're actually doing it in 1 year. We read a chronological Bible. We've read the Greek and Hebrew Bible. We've read Amplified. And this is our New King James that we're doing now. And next year, I believe, we're going to be in the Christian Standard Bible. And our goal is to try to do it again in a year. It might be a little longer next year because we will be in the Dr. Tony Evans Study Bible. So, and we read that on a couple of days ago. And it was really good. So I'm excited about going into Dr. Evans' Bible. His commentary is excellent, just like Dr. Stanley's is. So let's get back into our life lessons. And it says in Jeremiah 41:15, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan. Eight men went to the Ammonites. And this is what it said in Hollywood, the bad guy usually gets it in the end, but the Bible is realistic. It admits that life doesn't always happen that way, at least on this side of heaven. But no one escapes the final judgment. And, you know, we know how that is. There's a young man right here in central Illinois, Jelani Day, you know, who went to my alma mater, Illinois State, and University and was working on his PhD, young man, very handsome young man, found drowned in a city up near northern Illinois in the Chicagoland area. And his mother, of course, is feeling that it's foul play, because what was he doing up there? Why would he take the license plates off his car? And all of these extra stuff, as they found this young man dead in the water and didn't do anything until after his mom went on national radio, his brother actually. I was listening to a show when I heard his brother on this show come on, because they were talking about missing people of color during the missing of the young lady who's Brian Landry. They are allegedly killed, which was his fiance. And, you know, so whoever, if this young man was in fact murdered or did not commit suicide or whatever they're trying to say, but that he was murdered, that murderer has not come. They don't know who it is. They don't know the motive. They don't know anything. So bad has gotten away with something as of right now. But we know that we serve a mighty God, and that one day whomever does anything will be brought to justice. You know, I live in Illinois, which has some crazy, strange stuff. You know, John Wayne Gacy, one of his victims, and we know John Wayne Gacy was a good 20, 30 years ago when they found out that this quote-unquote man that liked to dress as a clown and murdered all these young men and buried them under his house. Come on now. Can we say sick and crazy? And he had got away with it for years. And today, this week, they just found the identity of one of his victims. Damn, this victim's family can finally have closure. We don't understand. We think that the bad are getting away with everything. Why they get away with stuff, Lord? They done did this, that, and the other. And they keep getting away with it. Understand, no one will escape judgment, as Dr. Stanley says, the final judgment. And then as we continue, it says, the Lord, your God, show us the way in which we should walk and the things we should do. Now, understand, you already done made plans to do it your way, not God's way. But yet you're going to go to a prophet and say, could you find out what we need to do? We'll follow it if you ask God. Now, you understand, you already made your decisions. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. The men who said these things mouth all the right words, but they had no intention of obeying God. They already had a plan. They merely wanted Jeremiah to bless it. Such prayers and plans God will never honor. It's not hard to play the part of regular churchgoer and hymn singer, but God is after genuine faith, not well-rehearsed lines spoken convincingly. And they did. They spoke all sweet. We'll do what you say. We'll do what God said. You know, paraphrasing. You know, you got us, Jeremiah. All we need is just a word from the Lord, knowing they was acting in bad faith. And Jeremiah 42:20, you were a hypocrite in your heart. Jeremiah didn't play. And as he got older, when he was young, he would cry, you know, because he just saw things and it hurt him and he felt it. But when you've been stuck in the mud and the mark, you get to be a little bit hard-hearted. You get to understand that everything ain't rosy and everything is not good, and that you're going to say what God tells you to say, and you don't care what anybody says about it, because you got a job to do. You got an assignment, and you're going to do your assignment. And then it says, before these men ever acted on their deception, Jeremiah openly revealed their hearts. We may fool others, but we do not fool God. We can never manipulate him into giving us what we want. You can't play with God. Well, Lord, if you give me XYZ, then I'll do ABC. Please, God, if you do what I need you to do, because, you know, I love you, Lord. Smooches, smooches. If you help me, you know, then I'll go to church every Sunday. And I'll work on the usher board if you help me this time. And if you give me the desire of my heart, because your word says that you'll give me the desires of my heart. And you know, Lord, I want a husband. And you know, Boo-Boo is my baby daddy. And you know, I love him. I know you say for me not to go down this house. But you know, Lord, he's my baby daddy. And you know, I love you, so Boo-Boo. And so, but if you give me Boo-Boo as my husband, I promise you, God, he's going to be really good. And, you know, he's not going to have any children with anybody else. He's going to marry me, and it's going to be all right if you just give me the job of my heart, God. Now, you know good and well, you shacking up with Boo-Boo already, but you're trying to act like you ain't down the street. And that if God gives you Boo-Boo and all the things you want, you know, you're going to be all right, knowing good and well that God had already told you to take your baby, go to court, and move to get away from Boo-Boo. Because Boo-Boo is H-E-L-L, hockey sticks, on earth. And that he is not nice. He done beat you to a pulp. So you out there praying for Boo-Boo to be your husband and with a black eye right now. We got to understand that everybody who claim to be your boo or your bae may be a buster and that he is not for you. But you go and pretend that everything's all good on Sunday and you out up there petitioning God for this man that I beat you up all weekend to be your husband and that God will change him and that you'll be able to change him if God just makes you his wife. So you're already planning on marrying this man because he done apologized. And so you're going to marry him because he's your baby daddy. Because understand, you was raised in the church. So you know the word of God and you knew your parents had told you not to be going down the street to Boo-Boo's house. Your parents have been grounded you. Everything that happened to you by your mom and your dad telling you don't you be going down to them people's house. But you sneaking in the middle of the night down to Boo-Boo's and hiding the bruises. And then the next thing you know, you're pregnant. You know, God gives us stories to tell, the vision that you visualize, what happens to the ugly when they lie and cheat and try to petition God, when they know good and well, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. They're going to continue up at the altar because now you're pregnant and you're petitioning God for him to marry you. You're petitioning God that you're going to be in the choir, you're going to be an usher, you're going to be everything that you can imagine God wants you to be. Lip service, and you're speaking to having the prophet pray over you. When the prophet sees already, you're not going to do any of the things you're saying. You get ready, as soon as you leave church, you're on your way to Boo-Boo's house, even though your parents have told you not to go. You're getting ready to shack up with Boo-Boo right now, petitioning and asking God for all this stuff that you know. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. We got to be careful. Don't play with God, because I'm going to tell you, it will not be well with you. Psalms 119, verses 89-96. It says, forever, O Lord, is Lamed. Your word is settled in heaven. Do y'all hear that? Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinance for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. David didn't play. He told it like it was. If your law had not been the delight of my heart, he's letting you know. He said, if your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. You know, God watches over us, our good, our bad, and our ugly. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Hallelujah. We got to follow what God says, and it will give you life. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have been the consummation of all perfection. By your commandment it is exceedingly broad. God is hearing our petition, and he loves us, and he wants us to know that we are loved by him, and that he loves us like that. And he wants us to know it. We are so blessed to be children of God, that we, that our petitions are heard, that he knows our heart, that he knows our mind, that he knows our spirit, because he is God. And he wants the best for his children. Proverbs, because of the transgression of land, many, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. Proverbs 28:2. And now we're getting into our 2 Timothy, where can y'all give a woo-woo? The 2 Timothy this morning. Because in 2 Timothy, we are going into a new chapter. Yay! A new chapter. And I am excited. I love 2 Timothy. I just love the word of God. So I'm just going to, let me just go back and tell the truth and shame that old nasty devil. I love the word of God. It does something to my heart. It helps. It just calms my soul. And I had my little book on my stand, and I cannot find it, but we'll go over it. There you are, hiding. Thank you. Thank you, God. I have a little book. I call it my Know Your Bible. That's the title of it. And it says, Know Your Bible, all 66 books, explain and apply. So for all the folks that are in Bible trivia with me, this is where I get all my information. And it says this, the author, Apostle Paul. The date probably mid-60 A.D. In 10 words or less, we're going to describe 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul's final words to a beloved co-worker. And honestly, we know Timothy was his spiritual son, and he loved him, you know, as his own, as he would love his own son. So this is his final words to Timothy, because understand, Paul wrote a lot of these when he was in prison in Rome. You know, oof. Paul knew he was going to die, but he wanted the church to be established. As an apostle, he had gone and established all these churches, and he wanted them to succeed. And this is some details. It says in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy may be the last known letter of Paul. See, I just learned something. Maybe the last known letter of Paul addressed to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. The book warns the young pastor against false teaching and urges him to live a life of purity before his congregation. Timothy should expect trouble. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that we'll be getting to that on probably Sunday. But God will be faithful. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Paul begs Timothy to join him as quickly as possible, as the time of my departure is at hand. The time of my departure, meaning his death. And this is a quotable from this word. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3. And then it goes on to tell us, unique and unusual. Paul tells where the Bible comes from in 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's a quotable. That's a highlightable. You should, when we get to that, that should be one of your highlightables at all times in your word. And I say it again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know that's 2 Timothy 3:16. The idea of the word inspiration is breathed out. So what? We should all live life in such a way that we can say, like Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. And that is 2 Timothy 4:7, another highlightable. You know, you'll find some more as we go along in today's Word That's Not, my little Know Your Bible book. But I tell you, this book does something to your heart, because you find out that, as they say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. And you're going to hear Paul talk about Timothy's grandmother and mother and how they were faithful women of God. So let's get into this Word. And it says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lord. He's like, let me tell you your lineage and your mother Union. I am persuaded is in you also. You know, Timothy's grandmama and his mama, women of God. He said, what did he say? When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded it is in you, that his grandmama and his mama had faith. And we got to have faith, too. And these are some highlightables. You can highlight this whole section I'm about to read. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Remember, he laid hands on Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, that's my word, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. That's verse 7. That's a highlightable. When you start being afraid, just say to yourself, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. We got to learn that word. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good things which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all things in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Gaius and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord granted him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. You know, Paul is kind of saying farewell to people, too, as he's writing this epistle. He's writing his letters to tell you how he feels. And he loves Timothy. Timothy's his baby. You know, God would give us children that may not be our biological children, They are the children of our heart. And Timothy was the son of his heart. He was his protege. And he wanted him to know, I know who you are. Your faith is come, not just this, not just new. Your faith came from your mama, your grandmama, all the way down to you, from your grandmother to your mother and now to you. They were faithful and so are you. And he wanted him to know, I know who you are. I know your family. And this is a word of God for all of us who walk in fear on occasion. We all do. No, none of us are perfect. But then we have to shake off that fear and know that God is the one that gives us power. Hallelujah. That gives us faith. And this is some words for Dr. Stanley that you might want to get a pen, because there's three things I want to give to you this morning from Dr. Stanley. And it says, Paul's words to Timothy are equally God's words to you. God gives you a spirit of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. He does not give us the spirit of fear. Response to every person. Respond to every person or situation that you fear with God's power, God's love, and God's mind. And the first one is ask for God's help. Fracture immediately, ask for God's help. Tap into the power of God. Remember when Peter tried to walk on the water to Jesus, but his fear overcame him in Matthew 14:30. And we know what happened. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. But when he found himself in trouble and fear sinking in the sea, he had the right response. He asked for God's help. Lord, save me. Is your best first response to any time you feel fear. Lord, save me. I'm going to tell you, I've said it many a day, and I'm sure that many of you have too. Lord, save me. God, save me. Lord Jesus, save me. Holy Spirit, save me. Number two, ask for God's love to fill your heart. Love is a potent antidote to fear. I recall the first time, and this is Dr. Stanley giving his testimony, and I felt this way myself. I cannot say every time I have to speak, I get all funny. My stomach starts to gurgle. I get nervous. Sometimes, and I'm not a sweater, but I get a little moisture on the forehead because it's all fear. And, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you did so good. They don't understand. I was shaking in my boots. Not because I couldn't give the word. Even in the mornings, I have like, okay, God, increase as I decrease. Because, you know, you try not to walk in fear. But you want folks to like you. You want your word to go forth, and you want it to go forth in excellence. So you fear. But this is what Dr. Stanley says, and I just share this with you because I felt this same way. And I can tell you, many a minister and pastors have too. It says, love is a potent antidote to fear. I recall the first time I preached in my home church, I had a fear attack. Hands up, been there, done that. I felt they expected more from me than a group of strangers might expect. Yes. So what helped me, I read the words of the Lord to Joshua in Joshua 1:5-9. And I get all teary-eyed. That scripture birthed the ministry. The ministry that I'm over, that I'm the pastor over. Joshua 1:5-9 birthed it. Because we cannot be in fear, because God told us, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And then he goes on to tell us to be strong and courageous. And it goes on to say, and then, this is what Dr. Stanley, and then turn my focus on the people of my home church. I felt overwhelmed by how much I love them. And that's how I feel. They know I get teary-eyed, but I love my church. And I love the women and the men and the children that are there. I love the people that I worship with. I love them. And I just feel an overwhelming love that I love what God sent me. And it says, I felt overwhelmed by how much I loved them and how they had loved me through the years. By the time I stood in the pulpit, the fear had completely drained out of me. John tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I can say my hand up, 1 John 4:18, and that is the truth. Ask your Heavenly Father to impart to you more of Christ's love and to take away any torment you feel as you go, as you do fear will lose its grip on you. Amen. And number three, ask God to give you a sound mind filled with and operating according to God's word. The basis for a sound mind is the word of God. The more you know of God's promises and the more you live according to his commandments and greater your strength to withstand fear, use scripture to speak directly to the source of your fear, just as Jesus quoted scripture to Satan during his time of temptation in the wilderness, Luke 4:1-13. When you feel gripped by fear, turn your gaze upon God. Redirect your heart to love. Speak to your fear from the word of God and then respond boldly to the situation. The Lord desires you to be strong and of good courage today. Ooh. So again, ask for God's help. Ask for God's love to fill your heart. Ask God to give you a sound mind filled with and operating according to God's word. Those are the three. Got a couple more life lessons. Three more. It says this in 2 Timothy 1:3. Without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. We learn from Paul's letters that he had an extremely active prayer life. Did he keep a list of prayer journal? We don't know, but he must have developed some kind of system to help him direct his many prayers. 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. God never takes away the spiritual gifts he bestows upon us, Romans 11:29, but they can lose their sharp edge of effectiveness through our neglect. God instructs us to use our gifts for the benefit of his people, 1 Peter 4:10. 2 Timothy 1:8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. As human beings, we have a natural tendency to feel ashamed of beliefs. Our individuals that get ridiculed by the majority. God calls us to draw upon his power to identify courageously with his son. Hallelujah. And that is our word this morning. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning from Sister Carolyn is this. And it's yesterday's word, is what yesterday's word, because we got it a little bit after we had finished the show. But yesterday's word was this: God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. And for today, good morning. Don't give up on the good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. Have a transforming Thursday, family, and know you wherever you go that you are loved and that he cares for you. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in Jesus precious and holy name I pray over you and yours. May the blessings of God cover you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, and may he watch over you with his angels of mercy and grace wherever you may travel and wherever you may go. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, because we all know that it is time to go to work. And again, I ask you to please keep my family in prayer as my father-in-law continues to fight for his life. And if it is God's will for him to leave this earth, please join me in praying that God's will be done. Thank you so much, family. And as again, God willing, we'll meet again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as our sister in Christ said this morning, have a transforming Thursday and watch God work in your life. Be blessed. It's a wrap.